A good summer, finally. When your kids go to bed, finally. Making a profit, finally. A business bank doing something different, finally. Like giving cash back on your business account. Introducing the new Santander 123 Business Current Account. Finally, a proper reason to switch. Cash back up to £300 annually on credit turnover. Monthly fee £12.50 for UK-based companies with up to two directors, owners or partners. 18 plus T's and C's apply.
It's a good show.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Is that a Diet Mountain Dew?
Diet Mountain Dew, man.
What do you do?
It's the official beverage of the high school dropout.
Diet Mountain Dew.
I need the caffeine.
What does that even taste like?
It's not good. It's not bad.
No, it is bad. Yeah, it's Diet Mountain Dew.
I don't drink it often. I'm treating myself.
It's that's got to be like what they had to do to make it diet.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably bad for you.
Yeah. I need a good... That's my problem. I don't have a regular caffeine source. I'm not a coffee guy.
What about iced tea?
See, coming from the South, growing up on sweet tea.
Drink that children's drink.
Yeah, and I mean, I try not to drink it anymore. Just
that is
all
a child's drink, by the way. I mean, I know there's regional favorites. Everything. That's a child's drink. Sweet tea,
it's delicious,
is for children.
Yeah. Well, it's unsweet tea is just dirty water. I don't know why anybody would drink unsweet tea.
If you gave me Hawaiian punch,
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That's what sweet tea is to me.
Yeah, I guess
you could serve that in a Capri Sun pouch. That's what that tastes like.
It's delicious. But yeah, so growing up on sweet tea, it's hard for me to just drink unsweet tea. Or out here, they just call it iced tea.
Yeah, it's an adult drink.
It doesn't taste like anything.
Tastes like iced tea. It tastes like a subtle. It's subtle.
Yeah.
It's a subtle, refreshing beverage.
Yeah, I need. I don't know. I'm gonna have to just bite the bullet and get into coffee.
You could put a bunch of bullshit in there. Creams and sugars. You could really fruitcake it up over at Starbucks.
Yeah, I've been experimenting with just plain old iced coffee, and then with a little whole milk. And then just some artificial sweetener. You know, I'm trying to keep the zero calorie.
This is what happens when we record two episodes in 2 days.
You don't talk about coffee?
We talked about everything. We caught up yesterday.
I got something to talk
now
about.
Now we're back to bitching about beverages.
Well, speaking of bitching.
Bitching about beverages with Kyle and Dave.
Let me give a little steak tip out there.
Steak tip?
We've talked about steaks a lot. I'm a big ribeye fan.
Rib tips with Dave Stone.
Rib tips.
That's your barbecue podcast.
I like, that's not a bad idea. I like a ribeye, I like a New York strip, I like a T-bone. Sirloin steak fucking sucks.
I don't even know what that
is. It's just a different cut. And here's the problem, all right? Everybody wants a thick cut steak. Sirloin is tough. I had a thick sirloin a couple weeks ago.
Look up a picture.
And it was like chewing on a goddamn catcher's mitt.
Where'd you get it from?
Just the store. Just store bought. Just a choice, not a prime or anything. I don't even know if they make prime sirloin. But, it was so tough and chewy.
Back meat.
If you're going to do sirloin, it's got to be thin, like at the Waffle House. Waffle House has a decent little, it's not good by any stretch of the imagination, but it serves its purpose and it knows its place. The Waffle House's breakfast sirloin, it's thin, but man, a thick cut sirloin is garbage. Don't do it.
Really?
Just don't do it. Just please.
And at no point are you going to take this on the preparation?
No, it was not my fault.
Okay.
No, I know how to cook a damn steak.
I figured, but
only so much you can do.
You know, even
a chewy ass sirloin. That's what I used to work at Longhorn, and the cheapest steak on the menu was the Renegade, and it was a sirloin. Give me that Renegade.
I can't think of when I've had a... I don't remember what... I mean, I remember having good steaks, but I don't remember what's what. Mm-hmm. Where's the New York Strip from? Because I'm looking at one of these, you know, what do they call the breakdown of the animal where they show what cuts?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Well, I'm looking at it. Yeah. It doesn't say where.
Doesn't say.
New York Strip, sick. I see sirloin's back. Flank is underneath sirloin. Mm-hmm. Brisket is... looks like the breast meat.
Yeah, brisket's tough as shit. That's why you have to smoke that shit for 14 hours.
You can get shin
hours.
Meat.
Shin meat?
That sounds like that's how you insult a chef. What is a shin meat?
I used to live next to like a Mexican butcher.
This guy's back there just serving corn cobs and shin meat.
Just the cob.
The
corn has already been off the cob.
Yeah, just already shucked. Already worked over.
I used to live next to a Mexican butcher shop, and they would always have like these really crudely drawn posters advertising this week's specials. Yeah. And they would always advertise flat meat.
Yeah.
It was pretty unappetizing. Flat
meat. Yeah, I don't know where.
You get 2 pounds of flat meat.
Is that where they make the carne asada?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's
but fucking give it up for the Mexicans taking the crummiest parts and making the most delicious food you can get.
Get you some flat meat or flank steak and make you some of that chimichurri sauce. Mm-hmm. Chimichurri. Man, that's some good stuff, man. But yeah, I'm done.
Get yourself some of that Jimmy Kimmel sauce on that flat meat there.
I'm done with sirloin, dude. I'm done.
Maybe okay. Well, let's see what we could do. Let's see what we get. Maybe you've got to give another shot. Cut it thin.
Yeah. I should have butterflied it.
Would you have a deli slicer in your home?
Oh, yeah. I would love to have a deli slicer.
I think my buddy's got one.
Like Kramer. Kramer went out and got one.
Oh, that's right.
And he goes, nope, nowhere for the flavor to hide.
Speaking of TV, I know I was going to talk about Ozark, but all I can say about Ozark, it's a great show.
Yeah, I've seen season one, and I loved it.
Season two, get into it. Just watch the last one today. Oof.
Did I
one.
Tell you that they filmed that in my town that I grew up in? The lake that I used to, in Lake Allatoona in Canton, Georgia, right on the Canton Woodstock.
That's where they're filming it?
That's where they film a lot of those scenes.
Because Georgia's got the huge film thing going on.
And that lake is where the day I graduated high school, I went cliff diving. I jumped off like this 100-foot cliff into the lake, like kind of a rite of passage. And the restaurant in season one that he takes over and runs.
Oh, the
that,
Blue Cat, yeah.
Yeah, that was Little River Cantina or Little River something right there on the lake. I used to live like right. My stomping grounds right there in Ozark.
Well, good backdrop, I'll say that, where you grew up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice.
Lovely country down there.
Very nice. So, season two, is it good?
Season two is great. The TV that me and the missus have been watching, though, 90 Day Fiancé. Oh, baby.
Katie's watching that.
Oh, baby. Are you on it?
No, I can't do that stuff.
Yes, you can.
She that and Southern Charm she can't get enough of.
I don't know what Southern Charm is, but not, it's a word. I don't know where word came through the pipeline over to Rachel that we got to be watching this 90 Day Fiancé. But you got to watch the before the 90 days where I guess they go to whichever country their mail order spouse is from and then propose to the parents. It's one of those train wrecks where you're laughing at it as a bystander, but also you hope producers are doctoring it up because you don't want it to be real. Because if it's real, it's such a sad lot of people.
Yeah.
But oh boy, it is it's catastrophic.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it in my peripheral.
And it's TLC, which is only shovels the smelliest of shit. Like their whole network, they're like all that. They have like the 19 kids and counting, and it's all like in that pseudo celebratory, that faux celebratory. This is just a slice of life. These people have 19 kids. It's like, no, you're the freak show part of the circus.
Yeah,
that's all your channel is. You're not lifting these people up.
Yeah,
you're not elevating them and praising them for who they are. Oh, I was watching the Little Women one, which is all the little people. And they would just fight each other. And you're putting...
Like literally fight? Physically
fight
each other?
Yes, they would always fight.
Oh, that's no good.
It was great. Because then it's little people...
Little people jumping off of chairs, drop kicking each other.
Yeah, just fighting. And because they could tell, like, the first season was, like, not, there was, like, drama, but it was kind of just them being catty to each other. And then the next one, they got, it was, like, in Houston or something. And they all just fought each other all the time. And they'd fight each other in a club. And it's just everybody in the club going, how do we break this up?
Well, they have to encourage that, right?
Because of course, yeah.
You'd like to think that
you don't want to watch
people,
people
don't just go around fighting.
Yeah, there's no TV show. Like, yeah, we just get along and things. We're just going to have a quiet meal at
home.
But,
like, they encourage them to physically fight? Like, hey, good puncher.
I think the casting process, you know, they're like, oh, this one's a real loose cannon.
Yeah, okay.
Just like anything. Just like Bachelor, all that stuff. You know? Oh, this one, you know, this one's going to really stir some shit. But you see these the little ladies in a bar, and they're fighting each other, and then the people in the bar are just,
what do we do?
Yeah, like do we break this up? Yeah. Is it fair for us to break up a fight between, or shouldn't they have a similar sized bouncer? So it's appropriate.
Did you ever see that?
The ratios are incorrect.
That Jackass sketch. You know, they got the one little guy. Where he's like, they stage him at a bar, and he's talking to another little a gal, and then her little guy boyfriend comes in, and there's
and
a big fight,
and then the cops are Well, then I saw the bar, the Brower House by where I grow up, when I go back to Addison, is kind of like this. It's supposed to be like a punk rock dive bar, but it's much more hard rock cafe. Like, it's kind of corny, but I go there. Food's not bad, and they got a good live venue space over there, so they're doing all right for themselves. But I was like, I always see what's going on there, and they had some comedian. It was a little person. It was one of the guys from that sketch, and I guess he does all the Jackass stuff, but as a little person, like just, you know, staples his balls and shit. Who's like, when the stapling your balls thing is passe? All I can think of is the Simpsons when the kid was eating worms. He's like, my 15 minutes are over. Yeah, like that's all I can think of is like, who? Oh, nobody wants this anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that whole gimmick's kind of run its course.
I mean, if they made a new Jackass movie, I would absolutely go see it.
Yeah, I'd watch it
because every time they still got me. Even when I'm like, am I still gonna laugh at this stuff? Oh, you bet your ass I am.
My very first day in L.A., I'd been in town like 2 hours. I saw Chris Pontius at 7-Eleven, one of those guys, one of the Jackass guys.
Yeah. And, I like him.
And I was just like, oh, well, okay, yeah, L.A. Yeah. I get it. Okay, yeah.
Showbiz, baby. Showbiz, California.
Yeah, man.
Well.
Speaking of, let me stay on TV real quick.
90 Day Fiancé. Speaking of 90 Day Fiancé.
Dude, been watching Amazon. Katie got the, I don't know, somebody's password or something. We've been watching a lot of Amazon.
They got some good shows.
Got a bunch of good stuff on there. But to the naked eye, there's a bunch of good stuff. But
you
then
got
you
a
get
dick.
Into it. One of my favorite things in the world, I've always loved music documentaries, even bands that I don't really care about that much. If it's a good documentary, I will get in there and watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite docs in the last few years is that Foo Fighters documentary. I don't give a shit about the Foo Fighters.
Oh, about that studio?
Yeah, just so generic. Like, I don't hate them, but it just seems so generic and boring to me. But I want Back and Forth, I think, is the name of it. Great documentary. Yeah. Anyway, I love docs, even if it's bands I don't really care about. Amazon is just riddled. There's just hundreds of music docs on there. And when you're scrolling through, you're like, oh, man, wow, look at all this. Look at all this. And you get in there, and it's all these cheap-ass music docs that are so cheap and so low budget that they can't even afford the rights to the music they're documenting.
You'd think you'd have that lined up.
What the fuck is that? I'm watching a documentary about AC/DC, and there's none of their music. If I watch the AC/DC doc, I want to hear some Whole Lotta Rosie or some shit. It's just all this like generic instrumental that kind of sounds like it.
Similar.
Yeah, like a damn KFC commercial with a rip-off Sweet Home Alabama riff, you know. But like AC/DC, The Who, Led Zeppelin, all these great like classic rock bands. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm going to watch this shit all night. Every one of them just garbage.
I get, that's why Somebody brought this up yesterday, like WKRP in Cincinnati. One of the reasons they couldn't get syndication is because that's when licensing laws came into effect. They were playing all this music on the show because it's a show about a radio station. Yeah. And then the licensing laws, like they couldn't afford to play it anywhere. That's why somebody else was saying, like, if they made Beastie, if they made Paul's Boutique now, it'd be the most expensive album ever because of all the samples they use.
Yeah.
Like when Conan's last week on the air at NBC, he was like, I'm just going to blow all their money. And he just was playing the Beatles or Hotel California, some song that like the licensing with a Bugatti on stage. He's like, not my money, whatever.
Wonder how much it costs to get something, some of those big tunes. If you wanted to play Hotel California in your sitcom, what they would charge you.
It cost to, like, how they had the Spanish version?
Oh, yeah. You think that's cheaper?
Lebowski? I don't know.
Huh.
Goddamn Mexicans stealing our jobs. Covering our rock and roll songs for half the cost.
Yeah, they can have the Eagles. But yeah, man, it's such a bummer. Get all excited. You know, I love just getting high and watching a good music.
I love how much. I mean,
it's so bad, some of these ones on Amazon.
Maybe they're assuming, like, you know enough of the band to watch the documentary.
But still, like, it scratches that itch. Like, if I'm watching, if you're going to start talking about, if we had a conversation about AC/DC for an hour, I'm going to want to go and listen to some AC/DC. Like, you've whet my appetite now. And then to not have that in the doc, it's just such a bummer, man. Been watching a lot of that. One of the best ones, though, the Beatles. We've talked about the Beatles. I'm a Beatles fan. I'm not the biggest Beatles fan. But, man, Beatles doc, that anthology doc, it is so well done. The one that came out like 20 years ago.
Is there anything? What else is there to know about the Beatles?
I mean, they're fascinating.
It's like the fucking Bible at this point. Like, what else are you picking out of there?
I mean,
I don't know why. I know part of it's me trying to be contrarian, but also, like, why them?
Well, because they were one of the few examples of something being so popular, but also being pretty damn good. You think about today, the most popular music, most of it's critically, it's garbage.
But why do the Eagles suck then?
Because the Eagles just fucking suck. That's what they do.
Why? What don't you like about the Eagles?
It's so generic. It just, there's nothing. It's just lukewarm butt rock. Just garbage. It's fucking uncle rock. Just no balls.
You're
no
an
substance.
Uncle.
Yeah, I'm a cool uncle.
Who? Because he likes the Beatles. I saw somebody with a Beatles bumper sticker. I'm like, yeah, let the world know.
Yeah, now I get that. Like, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't rock the Beatles merch. You know, and I get it. But, like, they're an example of something that was both, you know, commercially huge and critically acclaimed. And that's rare.
I guess.
You know, Rolling Stones, you know, most of their stuff, they kind of follow that.
Yeah, I guess I just, it's always the Beatles. The Beatles, the fucking Beatles. Well, and then I listen to the Beatles, I'm like, this is fine. I don't have a hard on for it, you know.
I got a Beatles tune that no one ever talks about. Go listen to.
I guarantee someone talks about it.
Leave My Kitten Alone.
I guarantee somebody talks about it.
That's a banger. Leave My Kitten Alone. Listen to that Beatles tune. That's some rock and roll right there. Well, and I think too, the Beatles, and again, I admit they're not my favorite, and they're, you know, but I think what and who they influenced. You take away the Beatles, if the Beatles never existed, I think the rock and roll is completely different moving forward. Like, they just influenced so many bands.
I bet if the Eagles never existed, we would have never heard of Johnny Cash.
That is not true.
I don't know anything about music.
Oh, God. But yeah, man, you want to watch some shitty music docs about some good bands, they're all over Amazon. I mean, I'd love to watch a great, like, a really well-done Led Zeppelin doc, but they're not on Amazon.
Zeppelin, I remember walking in my buddy, like, years ago in the height of my, like being obnoxiously punk rock and contrarian, which I've come around, so I'm like, I can listen to the Beatles, like, that's a good song, that's an okay song, but I'm not, like, I don't think they changed the universe.
You could argue they changed rock and roll.
But we could argue it. But also, I just don't want to argue it. I don't want to hear about the Beatles anymore. Yeah. I want to hear the Beatles when I choose to listen to the Beatles. But the, you know, the music conversations everybody has. Eagles suck. Beatles are the best. Blah, blah, blah. We walked into Song Remains the Same. My buddy was watching because he was older than us. And we all laughed our ass off. He's like, this is what rock and roll is. And it's fucking Robert Plant with a wallet mark in the front of his jeans singing. And I'm like, dude. And this is like, and, you know, at the time, we're all dickheads. But we're just like, this is the gayest shit I've ever seen. It's sometimes wizards and other times it's this dude's dick. This is the whole movie.
Yeah, that's the one where they all take on their alter egos and they're driving race cars. And
but then I listen to some Zeppelin. I'm like, yeah, dude, you guys sure ripped off the good stuff.
Zeppelin. that changed the game for me when I was like 15. First time I heard Whole Lotta Love, I was just like, oh, wow. Because I didn't know much about classic rock at that time. It was all metal. But yeah, just good stuff. Them, Sabbath. Love some Sabbath. But yeah, man.
I'm not trying to like be Johnny Cool Dude, but I just remember seeing a Ramones tape and just being like, there's 25 songs on each side of this cassette.
Yeah, because they're all 90 seconds long.
Yeah, and I was like, that's awesome. That's hilarious.
So you just wanted quantity.
I was just like, that, here's another one. All right, there's another one. No fucking drawn out. Fucking, that's my impersonation of Led Zeppelin.
Somebody tweeted the other day, I forgot who. Is there an app where we could take all of Robert Plant's orgasms out of Zeppelin songs? A lot of howling.
Yeah.
What's the first, like, band that you... Well, I mean, I guess I could ask what's the first tape or CD you bought, but what's the first band that caught your attention and was like, holy shit, now I'm a music fan?
I've told this story before in theme with the podcast and the month of October. It was Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Really?
Yeah. Most specifically, the song Thriller. Because we've talked about this. It's a song about the Thriller. It's not even a thing. It's a song about the Thriller, and that's great.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the theme to Ghostbusters. Yeah. I love the Monster Mash. I like all songs about ghosts and dumb shit like that.
When did Thriller come out? Like 84, 85?
Around there.
Yeah. I remember when that video dropped. Because all I knew growing up, before you can drive, when you're riding with the parents everywhere you go, you're only listening to their music. And I resisted it at the time, and now I appreciate it, but I grew up on classic country. At the time, I was like, oh, this is stupid, this is lame. Now I'm so glad that I have that knowledge of Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and all that stuff. But, yeah, Thriller was one of the first like non-country songs that I remember being like, oh, what's this? And that video dropped, and how
the big deal about the video, and who was the director from that? And he's the guy who killed the kids during Twilight, making a Twilight Zone movie.
Really?
Yeah, he God damn it, famous director, and it's on the tip of my tongue. I'm just losing my mind right now. There you go.
Get out of here.
Jesus Christ. I keep wanting to say Robert Zemeckis, but it's not. It's one of those guys of that era. Mm-hmm. And so he, the director, made, I'm kind of fucking, God damn it, I want to know. Shit. Like, I'm looking at the article trying to find it. Like, just give me the name of the dude. Mm-hmm. It's on the tip of my tongue. You remember Twilight Zone, the movie? Fantastic.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, it's great.
When did that come out? What era?
It's like mid-80s.
Okay.
And it was all vignettes directed by different... It was different directors for all different vignettes.
Okay.
And some of them took old Twilight Zone episodes and reimagined them. Uh-huh. But this one, there was a scene where there was a helicopter and it killed Vic Morrow. I remember the actor who died, but God damn it. That director also directed the Thriller video. So why don't I just look up Thriller video director, you dumb asshole?
Yeah.
John Landis.
Okay.
Right there.
Yeah. What else did he do? He did a bunch of stuff.
John Landis did. Oh, tons of. I heard he's kind of a jerk. Blues Brothers, American Werewolf in London, Trading with Three Amigos, Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Coming to America.
He did all the great stuff. National Lampoon's Animal House.
Didn't care for that.
You didn't care for Animal House?
I just thought it was, just didn't hit me. Just like, eh.
That's your Beatles.
Yeah. I'm not a Belushi fan. Eh. You know, Samurai Delicatessen, that was funny, I guess. But he never punched me in the face. Just never got me.
But the whole cast.
Yeah. Oh. With Kevin Bacon in that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember watching it as
Revenge
an adult.
Revenge of the Nerds?
Now that I loved. Loved Revenge of the Nerds.
But not Animal
House. I remember watching Animal House like 10, 15 years ago as an adult and just thinking, eh, just felt like it's overrated. Revenge of the Nerds I enjoyed.
We are just not going to agree with each other today. I'm going to have to just say that I think sirloin steak's delicious.
Yeah.
Just to be difficult. What are we talking about? Anyway, yeah, Thriller got me. Yeah. That was when we had to get the record, and then to go tape, to get a cassette tape, we had to just play the record. We had like a listening party. My family just sat in the basement playing the record so it would record onto a cassette tape.
Your family?
Yeah.
Like your mom and dad?
Oh, yeah. We were all excited about it.
That's awesome.
We were all excited about it. Paul McCartney's on there singing The Girl Is Mine, where it's him and Michael Jackson fighting over a woman.
That's right.
Which, I mean, to look back.
Uh-huh.
Probably, you know, probably considered problematic now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was always interrupted, like, this song's good. Shut up. You'll fuck up the recording. Like, mm-hmm. Because it was just recording live to a cassette.
Yeah.
So there's some of those gems in there.
What about the first, like, rock and roll?
Mm.
That really.
I got two tapes. I forget what birthday. I got Devo and I got Talking Heads.
Nice. Both of those.
A little kid. Not because I knew what New Wave or anything was. I'm like, oh, I just like, it's like weird, silly stuff. I think I like the videos.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'll listen to the music. I'm like, this isn't the same without that. The first album I thought was just awesome was either Boogada 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 by Screeching Weasel. I got that when I was 16 because I saw the show. Uh-huh. Or Tesla, Great Radio Controversy. And, of course, Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
That's all my Beatles stuff. That's Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
For me.
Appetite for Destruction. That came out about the same time as what's the Def Leppard album?
Hysteria.
Hysteria. Those came out, I think, in the
came
same year.
After Pyromania.
I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah.
And those were just some bangers. And in third grade, I discovered Beastie Boys. I think I've told this story. Some guy on the bus had a boombox and was blasting Paul Revere. And I thought, what is this? This sounds unlike anything I've ever heard. Didn't know what rap music was back then. Somehow got a hold of the tape.
Yeah.
Soon after that, my mom discovered it.
Uh-oh.
And Beastie Boys. Beastie Boys? That sounds dirty. And ordered me to go out into the driveway with cassette in left hand, hammer in right hand, and forced me to destroy my cassette copy of License to Ill. Beastie Boys. And I was like, what? What's the problem? Beastie Boy, who cares? They want to fight for the right to party, Mom. But yeah, third grade, I'm out in the driveway with a hammer, almost tears in my eyes. Just like having to put down your old dog or something. Like, don't make me do it.
That's, I never had to destroy
my mom
property.
In seventh or eighth grade, my brother was a couple of years ahead of me. He was a couple of years older than me back then. Still is. And he got the U2 Octung Baby. And
really? That was?
On the cover, well, Mom made him throw that in the trash. Because on the cover, there was like this like collage, like just a bunch of different photographs. And on one of them, it looked like a guy was dressed up in women's clothes. So you got to throw that in the trash.
Oh, boy.
You too.
I remember buying the cassette tape of Appetite for Destruction,
mm-hmm.
which was very much a child shouldn't have.
Yeah. That's a cool cover.
It had, skulls. It had the parental advisor. I remember showing my mom. It'd be like, I bought it. They sold it to me, so it's mine. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should have that. Yeah, but they sold it to me, so I own it. Mm-hmm. I used my money. Yeah. I was real defiant.
Yeah.
Being such a dickhead.
Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet. That was another purchase in like fourth grade.
Did you have to smash Slippery Then When Wet?
No, I don't think she got the innuendo there. Might have gone above her head. But Beastie Boys got destroyed, and U2's Octung Baby got tossed in the trash. So, yeah, because one of the guys dressed up like a woman.
Well, yeah. We've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. Should we get into it?
I guess.
We don't have to. We just end it here.
I guess. That's so sad that you had to smash all your stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's
really, your lawn mowing money.
Really, really weird. I was just like, what?
You had Jeebus in your life.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of Jeebus. We had forced Jeebus. We had to do it, so you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That one, you got him.
Yeah.
Got to go to church. Why don't you have to go to church? We went. We go. We already went when we were younger. Okay, well, guess what? When I'm sitting there, all I'm going to be thinking is, well, bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, and the hypocrisy of that is, like I said, growing up on classic country, and so many of those songs were filled with innuendo and double entendre that I didn't get at the time. And then later as an adult, I was like, oh, I forgot who sang, but one of the big hits in the early 80s that I heard on the radio a million times was, I'm having daydreams about not things in the middle of the afternoon.
That was a country song. Of course it was.
Daydreams about night things in the middle of the afternoon. Didn't, you know, then later I was like, oh, it's a song about fucking. Okay. And just so many of those songs. And I was like, come on, Mom. This is more graphic than the Beastie Boys.
It's
tight fitting jeans. There's one Mickey Gilly or somebody, something about tight fitting jeans. And there's another one about, don't the girls all get prettier at closing time? Just all these like late 70s, early 80s lame country songs that now I'm like, that was okay to let your 5-year-old listen to some of that sexually charged country
just
music.
How much, like, you drink and you smoke and maybe you get into pills. What's that, marijuana? That's for hippies.
Yeah.
That's for anti-American hippies.
All right. Well, let's get into today's topic. I got kind of a curveball for you today. And covered a lot of stuff on this show, but we usually try to keep it in a certain parameters, but and I know that this general topic can be found all over the podcast verse, but I figured why not at least dabble in it for one episode. I want to talk about some serial killers.
All right, man.
Halloween coming up, trying to do some spooky stuff. What's more spooky than an actual serial killer? Some true crime.
Oh, we're crossing. And, we're crossing into that world.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it a couple weeks ago when I was out on the road. I did Tampa. Had a nice show in Tampa. Shout out to my buddy Steve Miller for hooking up a good show at Ella. Played a cool place called Ella's Americana Folk Art Cafe. Mm-hmm. It's a mouthful, but had a good show there, and it was either in or right next to the Seminole Heights neighborhood of Tampa, Florida. Yeah. And if that name sounds familiar, that's because about a year ago.
Seminole Heights?
Yeah, Seminole Heights.
Doesn't ring a bell.
About a year ago, they had a serial killer right there in that neighborhood, dubbed the Seminole Heights Killer. And this dude, what is his name? I had it. Let me pull this up real quick. It was about a year ago, November 28th, they arrested Howell Emmanuel Donaldson III. This dude had killed like, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 people in the course of just like a month or two. And I remember seeing it on the news about a year ago. I was like, oh shit, there's a active serial killer in Tampa right now. But it was right there in that neighborhood where my show was. And I was talking to some of the local comics and some of the other folks. And they're like, yeah, they caught him like one block over. Apparently, he turned himself in. He worked at McDonald's. And he came in one day, and he had the gun that he used to kill all these people, and he had it in a bag, and he gave it to his McDonald's manager, and was like, I'm the guy they're looking for. And the manager called the police.
Why is that when a serial killer uses a gun? I'm like,
yeah.
Louis Katz. I work with Louis Katz in Sacramento. You know Louis?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, super very funny.
This is a great joke about how serial killers must get pissed at mass shooters. It's like, do you know how long it took me to rack up these numbers? And these kids, they're not even taking time to drag the bodies to the wood and have sex with the corpse. These millennials. As far as like the dark jokes, they're like, ooh, but good angle.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But it was kind of reminded me of that joke. Like when they're using a gun, like a serial killer, I always think it's, I mean, all right, yeah, we're going morose because we're talking about actual things here and, you know, tragedies. But, you know, you always think of a serial killer that they're, like, somewhat fascinating. Maybe that's just what has been put upon us by how many true crime podcasts and TV shows. Mm-hmm. That they're, like, these interesting characters and they don't get caught and they're, you know, methodical in their ways. You're just shooting somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, just shooting somebody's kind of lame, you know. Stab them.
I mean,
don't
do any of it. Firstly, I would say don't do any of that stuff.
Well, it's not an original take here, but I've always been fascinated by serial killers just because, like, you know, that's the worst thing in our society that you could do is to take someone's life and to do that multiple times and to do that, you know, over the course of your lifetime. Some of these guys, you know, when it's all said and done, they're like, oh, yeah, he was killing people for 40 years, you know, and just to be that mindset of like, oh, this is what I do. Like, I'm, you know, I was born, I had a childhood, and then I just started killing people. Well, and just that secret to carry not only the horrific crime that you're committing, taking a life and taking multiple lives, but just to have to live with that, to have to live your life with this. The biggest secret possible, the biggest skeleton, no pun intended, possible in your closet.
But let's look at the whole spectrum of deviance, of mental deviance and broken, however many billions of people on the planet. Mm-hmm. That is a big, wide-ranging rainbow of different mental states and capabilities and capacities that, at the worst end, you know, yeah, you're a fucking serial killer or some, you know, psychopathic dictator that runs your country and just has art like. But then going like, what were we bringing up yesterday about like Satanism? Like why? Mm-hmm. Like of all the religions that are terrible, Satanism just the scariest. Like serial killers. Oh man, it's creepy. This guy killed 12 people over the course of 30 years.
Yeah, as opposed
to is bad. I'm not saying it's not bad.
But compared to like a dictator or politician who ordered, you know, drone strikes.
We dropped one bomb and whoops, it hit a fucking school instead of the missile manufacturing base. Yeah. Well, one doesn't justify the other. I know why. I don't know all the terms for different types of arguments that you put up, you know. Mm-hmm. But they, you know. I'm not saying it's not bad, but is it as shocking as I think it's the capability to terrorize people in their own neighborhoods and home. But if you look like a bad neighborhood that just has like Chicago's like, oh, we went like then the news headline was like 2 days without any shootings reported. Yeah. Like that's the fucking news is that nobody shot at each other in 2 days.
Yeah.
Probably because it was raining out or something.
Well, I think one thing that's always intrigued me is just the differential in motive. You know, there's one thing, and it's all murder, and it's all terrible, but it's one thing, you know, gang violence. It's one thing, you know, robbery and or revenge or whatever. But most of these serial killers are just like, nah, that's just what I'm into. Like, I didn't even know that guy. I wasn't trying to right a wrong. I wasn't trying to get revenge. I just like killing people.
They got an itch.
And I think that's, to me, one of the creepiest components of it. It's like, oh, you didn't even have a reason? Like, we all fantasized, well, maybe not all of us, but we've all had, like, you know, these fucking revenge fantasies. Or like, if I, like, get my hands on that motherfucker. But just to be like, nah, I'm just going to go out. Far. Just going to kill somebody. Just whoever, you know? And
what component of that do you have in your life that's the same kind of thing?
What do you mean?
Like, is it like a deviance? It's like, I'm going to look at porn and beat off.
Oh, like what's...
I wouldn't want anybody else to know about this. The biggest secret? Shameful.
Huh.
You know, like what, like, I'm trying to think, like, what, like, what's the thing before serial killer?
Well, rape or molestation.
Okay, what's the thing before harm to another person then?
Okay, I see where you're going.
You know, like, I'm like, that's the scale. Nobody's either just, I'm a regular person, or I bury bodies in the woods mm-hmm. for decades upon decades.
Yeah, I don't know. What, well, you know, there's like the old stereotype of, you know, a lot of serial killers as children, mm-hmm. you know, kill and mutilate animals. I guess that's one of the red flags. You ever done that? You ever kill an animal just for fun?
I remember we were little kids. I said in a joke, my sister's a frog caught in our window well, and we were just dropping bricks, and then I hit it, and it died. And then I was like, oh, I feel awful. Yeah. Why? It was just, you know, you're a kid, and you're just, you don't know that it's right or wrong, and it's a frog, and, you know, you'd hit lightning bugs with tennis rackets.
I did similar thing. One time I was fishing. I was about 9. Me and a buddy were fishing. And he caught a fish and then, like, pulled it out of the water and, like, held his rod up to where the fish was dangling about eye level with me. And I took a baseball bat and just fucking hit a home run with that fish.
And it's...
And I felt terrible. I was like, oh, man.
But, that, like, why... If you have a bug zapper... It's just the gradation, like okay, so I'm doing my vegetarian thing now, and I'm still I'll still wear leather and this and that, but, why is it deciding that one is bad and one is good? Mm-hmm. Like, you'll get cruelty, you'll get arrested if you kill your dog.
Yeah,
for no reason, you'll get arrested. That's cruel if you shot your dog.
Mm-hmm.
But. Here's your hunting license.
Yeah.
Go shoot some deer.
Well, when I was a vegetarian.
Put their head on your wall.
When I was a vegetarian, that was one of the biggest things that hit me was like, why is it okay to eat these animals and not these animals?
So that's what I'm coming to grips with. Yeah. Yeah. Why is, oh my God, I hit a pigeon with my car. Anyway, let's go get chicken. You know, like why, if one, not why not the rest? Like some dude. It was weird that I found it grotesque in San Francisco. I went to Denny's twice, and there was I said it on the last episode. There's a dead rat because some dude stepped on a rat that was running around in front of Denny's. Stomped. He pulled up, got out of his car, took a picture of this rat. Mm. Like, yeah, I stomped on that bitch.
See, that's awful.
Yeah, but
to stomp on a rodent to like a.
But that's rough. It was in that restaurant and it went into a rat trap, mm-hmm. you'd be like, thank God. Ooh.
Yeah.
Does the humaneness of it
have something to do with it?
Yeah, well, obviously that has something to do with it. But even if you were going to, you know, if you saw dogs kept the same way, why are the Sarah McLachlan, the goopy-eyed kitten commercials, you know, the crusty-nosed dog commercials.
Sounds like a terrible band.
Yeah, but go by any... cattle ranch, and it's the same thing happened to them, but fuck those.
I mean, that's a great question.
So that's kind of where I'm going with the vegetarian thing. Like that, when I think about it that way, that keeps me more on the vegetarian side. But then, oh, God damn, it's all so delicious.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm still justifying wearing leather because I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to have this. This is going to last. It's not a futile, you know, it's a clothing item that lasts for a long time. It's not just a burger that I'm half thinking about while I'm eating it, you know?
Mm.
So the holidays are going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, going back to the serial killers, one thing, too, that's always intrigued the
hell out
of me.
What are those vegetarian serial killers?
Well, it's got to be. Just mathematically, you would think there would be.
Maybe that's why they think humans are evil and they love animals.
And I said this about...
there's like a PETA serial killer.
Ooh.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
They were trying to give out free food during, not this hurricane now, but the one before, but still like making a message about it. It's like, shut the fuck up. Either help people or don't help them, but stop trying to be like, see, animals didn't die and now you have food. Like to people that like are stranded during a hurricane.
Yeah.
I'll eat your fucking face if you try to do that to me.
One thing that's always fascinated me about serial killers, and I said this about... the theory or the concept of aliens walking among us is And that's what we're going to get into now. It's not just serial killers, but serial killers that are still on the loose. And I think about that a lot. I gave the analogy of like me sitting on a park bench or sitting at the mall. I love people watching. I love people watching. And, you know, I said it in the Alien episode about like, you know, oh, you know, 3,000 people in a mall. What if one or two of these people are aliens? I think about that a lot with like serial killers or just fugitives in general. Like, you know, I wonder, I mean, mathematically, we live in Los Angeles. There's 10 million people in LA County, 12 million people, whatever it is. There's got to be a handful of killers that never got caught that are walking around, probably shopping at the same grocery store we shop at. And that's always fascinating.
I missed which, I forget which podcast, but it was like everybody's close encounters. It's like so many people dance with a Green River Killer.
Oh, yeah.
In Oregon or something. Or like, it was like, oh, that was him. Like this guy that's just charming dude. Yeah. Like looking back, like, I think that was him.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
crazy.
So many, like in Illinois, how many people had, you know, John Wayne Gacy was the clown at their kid's birthday party.
Yeah, so, that's fascinating.
I don't know. I mean, I know of like people like that have murdered other people, but not maybe good serial killers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I know of anybody who could be one. Comedians, they travel. There was a story about one comedian who got busted. It was like a college act, and they tied it together with all these rapes happening on different college campuses, and
that.
It matched up with his tour schedule.
Yeah, heard about
that. That's fucking diabolical. Yeah, I know. This is dark. Like, he would take him, he'd go into the band room because he knew it would be soundproof.
Oh.
That's fucking...
Jesus.
And before I even realized that, you know the independent karaoke rooms?
No.
Like, you could just rent a room that has a karaoke machine in it for, like, you and... 15, 20 of your friends.
Okay.
Instead of, it's like they just have like, oh, you're in room 6.
Okay.
And you get bar service in there.
Oh, okay.
But then everybody's just having a... I always thought like, oh, that'd be like the assassination move.
Mm.
Like you take somebody in there because it's soundproof.
Yeah.
And you got music playing. I just thought of it in more of a movie way. Not that I would want to assassinate somebody, but I could see it. I always see it like in a scene of a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
In real life, I would want no part of that.
Yeah. Well, there were times just a few years ago, you know, talking about touring and, you know, my experience in the van where I told you that one time I was on the road for 12 weeks. I was on the road for 12 weeks straight. And I mean, I felt like a fugitive. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was just traveling literally all over the country, literally for the most part, different city every night.
Not talking to people for a while.
Not talking to people. You know, on off nights and stuff, hanging out in state parks, just really off the grid and just on the move. And like, you know, during that time, I would laugh and joke to myself about like, oh, I'm like a serial killer. I'm like a fugitive, you know, but like I was literally living that lifestyle of just off the grid, on the run, nobody in towns where nobody knows
that's
me.
That's why it's truck drivers.
Yeah. It's, a lot of it's truck drivers.
Truck drivers wind up being these.
Yeah, man.
Oh, look out on them roads, folks.
Well, let's talk about...
be wary when you stop at a rest stop.
Well, let's get into some facts. First of all, let's define what a serial killer is. The FBI, they define a serial killer
let's
as somebody who murders two or more victims with a quote-unquote cooling off period between crimes. I think that's important because without a period in between that... Then you're getting into like spree killers and stuff like that. But this guy named Thomas Hargrove, he's a retired investigative journalist. He arrived at the estimate of about 2,000 at-large serial killers roaming just North America.
2,000?
Yeah, he thinks there's and these numbers vary depending on who you ask. But he thinks there's around 2,000 in North America. He did some research. His contacts at the FBI, they calculated that based on unsolved murders linked to at least one other murder through DNA... that were in their database. Other officials determined that there might be around 1,400. And, there's one lady. This guy says there's more than 220,000 unsolved murders since 1980. So when you put that into perspective, how shocking is it?
They just say more than 220?
220,000 unsolved
220,
murders.
220,000. Okay, I was like, 220?
Yeah, 220,000.
Oh, they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, since 1980. And this one guy thinks there's 2,000. We're talking about serial killers that are still on the loose. Somebody else says 1,400. A more accurate method of accounting This one guy says there's about 115 serial killers dating back to the 1970s just in the U.S. That estimate comes from Keena Quinnett, who's a criminologist at Indiana University Purdue in Indianapolis. It's based on linkages between cases made by journalists or law enforcement, and that includes a slightly different metric than Hargrove's estimate. He says the killer had to have murdered at least three victims. So some people define it as somebody who's killed two people or more. This guy here says
three. Changing the rules of the game. It's probably somebody who just stopped at two and was like, all right, good, I'm in the books.
And according to research...
You're just a hobbyist. You ain't pro.
According to research by psychology professor Mike Ardmott at Radford University in Virginia, he says there's more likely to be about 30 active serial killers operating in the U.S. This was a couple years ago, back in 2015, he said. So he thinks there's 30. The other guy thinks there's 2,000. So, I mean, there's no way to
really... Whenever they've ever crossed paths, like minds thinking alike, like, oh, this dried up creek bed would be a good... Whoa! Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, what? Look at us, huh? All right.
Yeah.
You're using this dumpster behind the abandoned factory? I do, because I saw it last week, but you take it. You got it, man. You're here now. That's like the Dexter type thing. I started watching Dexter. I fell out of it. I don't know why.
I only watched a few episodes of that, but I enjoyed it. I just, for whatever reason, fell out.
Yeah, it was good. Trying to harness your powers of being a serial killer. That's how they were trying to explain. Like, he's just got to do it.
Yeah.
And that way it's like, all right, because his dad, what was the story? He was adopted.
I think so.
And his dad knew what he was, like knew who his dad, like treating it like almost like it was genetic, like
it was
a mental deficiency.
I think we've had this hypothetical question posed before, but let's revisit it. You're a serial killer, or you're not a serial killer. You either purposely or accidentally or whatever, you killed somebody. Where are you getting rid of that body?
I think desert, man. I think the desert.
Why desert?
This is dry. Nobody, look at how much stretch of desert you got out there.
It's isolated.
Nobody's hunting out in the desert.
You ever been driving through Arizona or New Mexico and just
looking
off into the distance? And
that's why I picked it.
As far as the eye can see.
I did a driving trip. It was Mojave Road, or I forget which road. It's like a trail, just a sand trail cutting through a stretch of desert that if you wanted to, you can go out there. Outside of off-road enthusiasts, nobody's out there. You're not camping. Mm-hmm. Like, camping just to try and camp in a car. You can't make it out there in a car. Yeah. It's sand. It's just, that's it. Sand. I mean, I don't know if that preserves evidence more because it's not eroding.
And then you got the elements.
And then the wind is just going to go over it. You got no tire tracks going in and out.
Creatures.
Sand.
Scavengers.
Yeah, you just bury it deep enough.
I've always thought about the ocean. If I had to kill somebody, I'd get a boat, and I'd go 50 miles offshore, like way, way out.
But I'm going to ask you about your kill. Like, think now, like, okay, a situation, like TV shows, like, oh, whoops, we got to hide a body. Like, I don't know anything about boats. See, now you're dealing with it being a new
paper trail
captain
and stuff like that, though.
Just the physicality of, like, oh, I'm new to boats. But also, I got it. Like, I got a car.
Yeah,
that's a tarp.
Well, I think that's pretty good.
Really sounding like
do a little recon.
I'm sounding like a suspect now.
But yeah, man,
I hope nobody finds any bodies in the desert.
50 miles offshore.
Any of my friends don't die in the desert. I'll be fucked.
Soprano style, you know, concrete boots, you know, chains. Weight that shit down. You're not finding.
Did people
that body.
Ever? Do you really think they did the concrete boots? And you're mixing concrete. You got to get this guy to sit still. It just seems messy. I mean, it seems nice, like a nice statement. Concrete shoes.
Well, let's talk about some.
But ocean's a good one. Yeah. Outside of that stuff, ocean's a good one.
Yeah.
You got to take him on a fishing trip.
I always think about bodies of water. Like
I'm thinking you killed him on land, then you got to get him out there. Maybe you just like, hey, let's go fishing.
Well, that's what they do in Sopranos. You know, they've killed more than one person. Where they willingly, the victim willingly went on a boat. No spoilers.
Well, and if you got a boat, then people love going on the boat. Yeah. Oh, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I got a boat. And then if you want to kill some, they're going to be like, oh, I want to check out that boat. Oh, okay.
That's how they killed Big Pussy at the end of season two. Mm. Tony just stopped by his house and was like, hey, I got to go look at a boat. I got to make a decision today. I want to get your opinion. And he's like, okay.
Really?
And they go out on this nice boat. And
every mafia movie has a point of like, oh, well, I guess I'm dying now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody just go, well, just shoot me here?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to kill me.
Yeah, I know what's up, and I'm not getting on the boat.
So many times people are like, well, this seems sketchy, but I guess I'm like, no, all right, I know it. Yeah. I'm dead.
Donnie Brasco, Pacino gets sent for, and he doesn't get whacked.
Never saw Donnie Brasco. Don't spoil it. I've never seen Donnie Brasco. Don't ruin Donnie Brasco for me.
How have you not seen Donnie Brasco?
Because I haven't seen it. Dude. It's a physical capability that I have.
One. That's a good one.
It's a superpower I have to have not seen Donnie Brasco.
Right. I won't spoil nothing, but that's a good one.
I've seen a lot of things. I haven't seen Donnie Brasco.
All right, let's talk about a few of these actual serial killers that are on the loose. We'll just kind of go through it real quick.
Let's get everybody real scared for Halloween.
There's this one dude they call the I-65 killer. Creative name because I-65 running through Kentucky and Indiana. That's where this dude has killed some folks.
I've been on that highway.
Yeah, me too. 1987, 41-year-old Vicky Heath was attacked at her job as an overnight desk clerk at a Super 8 motel in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I was just driving through there the other day. She was shot. Her body was left in a dumpster out back.
65.
For over two decades, investigators believe that Heath's murder was an isolated act of violence. Not until 2010 that DNA evidence connected her assailant to two other murders from 1989 that took place in Indiana. Both of those victims also worked as night clerks at different Days Inn motels.
Only Days Inn?
Yeah, these three different victims, three different Days Inn motels. Another woman.
Disgruntled employee.
Another woman was attacked a year later.
Days Inn, more like Lights Out. Come on.
Another woman was attacked a year later. She managed to escape and give a description of her attacker. Unfortunately, it's been about 25 years. Still, nobody's identified anybody. Police suspect that the killer could be responsible for other murders.
Not standing at the goddamn Days Inn, I'll tell you that.
Jason Isbell has a great song called I Don't Want to Die at a Super 8 Motel.
Yeah, well, don't stay there either.
Yeah. They got no solid leads. And
got a Knight's Inn. Make it look like a little castle.
They think because this guy traveled up and down I-65 and stayed at cheap motels, like you said, possibly a truck driver. So I-65 killer.
Call the way down to Mobile.
Yeah. Killed people in 87, killed a couple people in 89.
Mobile to Chicago.
They got no idea who this guy is. Here's one that's a little more up to date. This guy, more modern times. It's been in the news a little bit in the last few years. The Long Island killer. The Long Island serial
man,
killer.
Was I reading or was that a podcast? That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got no idea who this dude is. Long Island, New York. suspect believe.
They got kind of close to what it might be.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
This guy, they think, killed between 10 and 17 people dating back to the 90s. In 2010 and in 2011, they discovered some more remains on, is it Gilgo Beach? The South Shore, Long Island, this place called Gilgo Beach, said to have been prostitutes that work off of Craigslist.
These poor prostitutes.
I know, man.
Providing a service that just the most frustrated, lonely men in your careers. I'm being sincere. Like, I don't understand why that's illegal.
No, me neither.
That could be a regulated thing. Mm-hmm. You know.
Did I ever tell you a booker tried to pay me for the prostitute one time?
No.
I won't say where. A comedy booker.
Do I know him? Do I know the club?
No. Nah, it's no. Nah. I'll tell
you. What state?
I can't say because that might give it away. but yeah, not pay me, not in lieu of payment, but kind of like, yeah, I do this for some. If I really like my comics, I do this for him. And he's like, it was in the hotel I was staying at, and he was like, if you're interested, go up the room 419, and she'll be there from 10 to 11. And I was like, nah, I'm good, buddy. But he was dead serious. It wasn't a joke.
Another comic has a story about if he was house-sitting for some like gay guys.
Oh, I know that story.
Yeah.
That's a great
story.
Did he
tell it on stage?
Yeah, he's told that on stage. We can,
Sean Patton. Sean Patton. A story about them sending...
Great story.
sending women over.
And he thought they were the cleaning crew.
Yeah, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm just going to hang out. You do what you want. I'm like, what? Yeah, just clean it up. And they were actually prostitutes that these guys hired for him.
And he told the guys, I think it was a gay couple. He knew, and then he told them, he was like, yeah, they stayed like 4 hours and didn't clean anything. And they were like, dude, we got you. And he was like, what? Oh, no wonder they didn't clean nothing.
Yeah. Scrub toilets, gross. I was here to eat your ass.
Oh, God. That's funny. Yeah, that's Long Island Killer. Well, going back to like the prostitutes, and you see this a lot, and I've seen this in some of the research today I was doing, but a lot of these documentaries, when the police finds out that the victim's a prostitute, they don't put forth much effort. A murder is a murder. A human, especially after they're dead, a human is a human.
Yeah.
You're going to, who gives a shit if she was a prostitute or a doctor?
Well, humans are valued.
Put forth some effort and do your job.
This is the old Patrice O'Neill bit about, I don't know what it was. I'm butchering whatever it was because I don't know his catalog very well, but it's something about like having a floaty on your keys when you're on a boat. It's like, I'm going to attach a white woman on there. People will find those right away.
But that's true.
Yeah.
You get missing white child versus the missing black child.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, there is a value assigned in these cases. But I forget which podcast really did a good job on that Long Island Sailor, it was a book. I have a book here somewhere. Fuck, I am doing a disservice to the author of that book. It was very comprehensive. Did a lot of interviews with family and everything.
They think that the suspect, whoever he is, might be connected or even be a law enforcement officer because of
Lost Girls.
Is that the name of the book?
Robert Kolker. That's the one I read. Yeah, I read that a few years back. Yeah.
They think that it might be a cop, kind of much like the Golden State Killer was a cop. And he was always one step ahead of the investigation.
Because he knew the processes.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these victims
How bad are these psychology tests that they give? And once in a while, a serial killer slips through to become a police officer.
Yeah. And a lot of these victims were found in burlap sacks. It's an odd...
Could have been a potato farmer.
So, yeah, this guy's still on the loose. Long Island Killer. And that's, that's creepy, too. Just, I don't know. Well, we kind of talked about that with the Montauk Project, about just the access to the city there. That, like, all the access to... prostitutes or wayward teens or whatever, but right there in New York.
That's why, if you're a serial killer too and you're just going for prostitutes or homeless people, you're going for pretty easy targets.
Yeah.
Like, you're not really challenging yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to be a serial killer, do it Dexter style. At least be like a vigilante serial killer.
Yeah, or go for some high-profile targets.
Yeah.
Make a statement.
Here's another one that's still on the loose. The Colonial Parkway Killer. During the late 1980s, Virginia's Colonial Parkway, basically a hunting ground for this killer. He's targeting couples. Murdered at least six people between 86 and 89. Two more people disappeared in the area, presumed dead, but their bodies were never recovered. Despite the murders taking place 30 years ago, most notable developments happened in the last decade. In 2010, the victim's family hired retired homicide detective Steve Spigola to look into the case.
Stevie Spigola's.
He figured out, or he thinks the murders weren't necessarily actions of one killer, particularly when it came to the first couple. Unlike the others, there were two slightly older women who appeared to have been bound and strangled. And another theory he has in a lot of these murders that a common denominator is that the glove box was opened. In like almost all of these, the glove box of the car was opened. He thinks it might have been a cop or someone posing as a cop. Hey, let me see your registration and insurance. Let me get your shit out of the glove box. And then boom, he kills him and drags him off in the woods. So that one's still on the loose. Here's one from another country. This guy named Pedro Lopez in Colombia, the country of Colombia. One of the most prolific serial killers in history. Now, this guy was caught He was charged with 110 murders, confessed to 200 more. So do that math. That's over 300. All the killings were young women. He raped them first, then killed them. He was arrested in 81, pled guilty. And the thing is, he served the maximum penalty in Ecuador at the time of only 15 years. He did his 15 years for killing 300 people. He did 15 years. He was released, immediately rearrested on some other charges, deported to Colombia, where he was institutionalized, then released again. He then vanished. He suspected in a 2002 murder and is likely been killing ever since. And nobody knows where old Pedro Lopez is. That's creepy, too. Like, other countries that have, like, lesser penalties. I mean, this guy, they charge him with 110. He confessed to 200 more. He served 15 years.
Well, and they do that, and then they just get him with the, like, oh, may as well just confess to a bunch of stuff. Look, I'm agreeing. Yeah, I killed them. I killed them, too. Because they know they're going down anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, necessarily reliable.
But a lot of times those confessions, like, for them to get credit or whatever, they want it, like, all right, well, show us where the bodies are. Let's help recover some of these bodies.
Yeah. Some closure for people. Yeah. Did you watch that documentary, The Staircase? Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix now. That dude's doing tours.
Really?
Like, he was going to be at Cobb's in San Francisco.
Really?
Like, doing a Q&A, I guess.
I and never finished that.
Oh, really?
Well,
you don't know how that ends?
Did they do, like, a season two or something?
I only saw it on YouTube.
Well, it came out on Showtime, like, 10 years ago. And now it's on Netflix. And it said Netflix original series, so I know.
Oh, maybe it's a different thing.
I don't know if this was, like, part two or whatever.
I don't think you can ruin stuff that's serial killer based or murder based. But you know, it's the guy, his wife, like, he had his
in
first
Raleigh,
wife died.
Raleigh Durham.
Yeah, his first wife died under mysterious circumstances.
Well, when his wife, it was like a friend of a family, like it was another couple. But yeah.
Fell down the stairs. And then his wife,
yeah,
they found her.
But
are you going to keep watching or you want me to tell you about
it? Go ahead and tell me, yeah.
Because it was one of the things when they brought up the idea of it in the documentary I watched, I was like, fuck you.
The owl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was an owl.
They think it was an owl, or
no,
they decided?
They figured out it was a bird of prey. They can strike so hard that it probably got her when she was taking out the trash, and she stumbled back inside and collapsed on the staircase.
But what are the odds that a similar thing happened 20 years earlier?
Well, I don't think that's what happened to...
Well, just the falling
person.
Down
I
the
think
stairs.
Just someone died, and then the circumstance was that this woman died mysteriously, too.
But I stopped watching. He was in jail, in prison, when I stopped watching. So he got out, or, like, years later, they...
No, it's work release, so he could go to Cobb's for the weekend. Yeah, he got out.
But I'm saying they had a second trial and decided that the owl was the guilty.
I guess, yeah, they arrested the owl. The owl represented himself. You know, they're so smart. They're just so smart.
They are wise. But, yeah, so anyway, I mean, that's just a real
scratch. We got a little morose on this one.
Scratching of the surface. But just the concept of people walking around that have murdered the shit out of tons of people. That's so creepy.
Well, and you look at, like, places like L.A. or being in San Francisco last week, it's just, like, these communities of homeless people where nobody's missing them. Let alone you could just live amongst them.
Yeah.
I mean, you were saying, driving around by yourself in a van, you could just...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anybody on this street could be on the run, you know, doing the same kind of thing. And it's just...
I think about...
It's
that
a psychopath. It's a crazy person.
Yeah.
Oh, camping. I always, like... That's the stages of fear when I've gone backpacking by myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, like, animals, murderers... It's like Bigfoot or something, but that goes away quick.
Mm-hmm.
Then actual animals. And then I'm like, what if somebody just wanted to kill somebody? Just walk into a fucking campground, shoot any tent, and then just leave in the middle of the night.
Mm.
There's no cameras. There's nobody looking at you. Anyway, happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. Let me do a quick recipe. Did I do a recipe last week? I don't know. Not necessarily
you
a recipe.
To tell a recipe for something you already had a recipe for.
Dude, last episode I was talking about I was going to make some chili out of that blood-soaked brisket. Made some damn brisket chili.
Oh, I saw the picture.
Brought some to Rachel.
Misses, yeah.
I want to hear her opinion. And so as I normally is the case, whether I make chili or gumbo, the next morning, I always do an omelet. I've made a gumbo omelet. I've done chili omelets. I made a chili omelet today.
Egg is such a good base.
Oh, God. Chili. It sounds weird to some people, like, ooh, no, chili
had,
for breakfast.
I've had a chili omelet. Ooh, that man. Chili's a diverse dish.
So good. But I just want to give some quick omelet tips. A lot of people like omelets. Not everybody knows how to make a good omelet. And everybody, like any food, you know, everybody's got their preferences. I like a really thin omelet, almost like a crepe. And the way you do that is you use a big pan. So you just go through some steps real quick. All right, take a couple eggs, crack them in a bowl. I put a little mayonnaise in there. Don't put milk. Don't put water.
I've never before when you're like, well, dairy fluffs it up, so I put ranch dressing.
Yeah, the ranch, I don't know.
Didn't go great.
No water, no milk, no nothing. Just a couple of eggs. Put you maybe a tablespoon, maybe two of some mayonnaise. Whip that shit up real good. Obviously, if you've got a whisk, that works. But if you don't have a whisk, just a fork. And you want to just really – there's a technique to it. Yeah, I don't, it's hard to explain. But you're not just mixing the egg and the whatever. Also, the purpose of doing that is you're getting air. You want to get air into those
eggs.
Why
don't you just get a straw and blow bubbles in it?
You could do that too. All right. Get you a big frying pan, like a 12-incher, 14-incher. And especially with just two eggs, that's going to work out good. I don't use oil. I like butter. It serves the same purpose, but you also get a little bit of that butter taste. Melt you about a tablespoon or two of butter into that pan. Low heat. At first, you want to do low heat. And then while that butter is melting, kind of lift up that pan and kind of tilt it up and down and kind of get that butter to kind of go all around. Obviously, the surface of the pan, but also up the sidewalls. You want to get a nice lube on those sidewalls. And then low heat still. And once that butter's all, you know, spread out everywhere, then pour your whipped eggs in there with the mayonnaise. And then I love some green onion. If you got some green onions,
chives.
Some scallions, some chives.
Is that all the same thing?
That's a good question. I don't think so. Right. I don't think so because I think the chives are a little smaller. But anyway, I'll mix in some green onion into mine. So throw that in there. And then what's an omelet without some cheese? Get you some nice shredded cheddar. Some nice shredded Colby Jack, whatever, but the thinly shredded stuff. So as that, once you pour it in there and then you kind of shake the pan around to kind of spread it all out, and you want it with only two eggs on a big pan, it's going to be real thin, you know, get it all spread out nice and thin. And then what you do is you take some of that shredded cheese, and not only do you just, obviously you're going to put some cheese in there on the egg, but sprinkle it around the perimeter, around the outside of that omelet. What that's going to do is as it cooks and it's going to kind of hold everything together. You know, the first couple minutes on that low heat, it's going to obviously, it's not cooked yet. It's going to be runny, but that cheese is going to kind of act as like an adhesive and hold everything on the outside together. So when you get ready to flip it, you can carefully slide that spatula under there. Now, what I like to do, let it cook about 2 or 3 minutes. Don't fuck with it. Just put the cheese on there. And when you start to see those edges kind of congeal and come together, that's when you can kind of start getting that spatula underneath there. You want to kind of just do around the whole thing to kind of loosen it up, get it off the surface of the pan. And a lot of people will just do the like quesadilla style, just the one fold.
Yeah.
I like to do the two fold. I like to like take the left half, or not half, but like a third of it, fold it inward. Take the other side, fold it inward.
I can't see your hands right now, Dave.
I know. Then fold one side. I don't know how to explain this. Yeah, a third. So
it looks like it's rolled up.
Yeah. So you got the left side third is folded inward, and the right side third is folded inward, and then that middle third stays where it's at. Let it cook a few more minutes on low heat. Then once it's all congealed and ready to flip, you flip that sucker very carefully. Use two spatulas if you need to. Just get it in there.
It's too complicated.
Don't break it. Flip it. Then turn that heat up to about medium. Let it cook for another minute or two. And you want to get a nice little brown. I like to get a little scald on that omelet. A little brown.
Okay, sure.
Brown shit on that omelet. And, yeah, man, flip it another time if you need to. But just, you know, be careful with it. Don't tear it apart, but boom. And then when you get that nice little kind of brown char on there, oh, you're ready to go, man. Got you an omelet. And then as is with the cheese and the onions, that's enough. But, man, if you got some chili, you got some gumbo, some sour cream, some salsa, whatever you want,
I don't like sour cream when you come. It's always so much.
You don't like the sour cream on an omelet?
It's just everything gets butt fucked with sour cream when you get it. It's never just like a little bit.
Yeah.
Or portioned out. They just put this giant turd right in the middle and like you spread it out. It's like, no, you kind of ruined the meal.
But yeah, there's your little omelet lesson there. If you like the thin omelet, that's how you do that shit. And good times. All right, moving on, wrapping it up. Comic of the week this week. My old partner in crime in the Beards of Comedy, Joe Zimmerman, has got a new album out.
Joey Z got an album.
Joe is a world-class goofball. Joe is a funny guy based out of New York now. New album called Innocence on Comedy Central Records, out now. So if you don't know Joe Z's work, Joe, lucky bastard, he's the last couple of years been touring with Brian Regan, opening for Regan. And just seeing all his pictures. I'm at Red Rocks in front of 8,000 people opening for Brian Regan. But Joe's a funny dude, and he's got another album out, Smiling at Wolves. I think that was our Comic of the Week choice a couple years ago. But new material from Joe Zimmerman. Look him up and get Innocence, available now where you get your comedy. So that's our Comic of the Week. Anything to plug, buddy?
What's today?
Today is the 16th.
Sure.
October 16th.
It sure is.
Uh-huh. Where are you going to be?
Tomorrow night, Fort Collins at the Aggie Theater. Added a late show.
Way to go.
And then Denver all this weekend. Denver Comedy Works downtown. One of the very best comedy clubs in the whole goddamn world.
Oh, dude. I did a guest spot there. They treated me like I was a world-class headliner.
Staff's great. They're going to make you put your phone in one of those pouches. And awesome. That's great. Mm-hmm. And they love it when people, well, what if I have to? And you can come out. You can leave it on vibrate. And you can come out and we'll promptly unlock the bag and you can use your phone outside of the showroom. Mm-hmm. Thank fucking God. That's awesome. You live this long without a phone. You can make it. You can make it through a comedy. What would my babysitter? What if, like, everybody lived before the phones. So don't be one of the dicks that freaks out about the fact that they're going to put your phone in a pouch.
Yeah.
It is fun to watch the check drop and watch everybody try and not only read the check without the flashlight on their phone, but figure out 20%.
Yeah.
You kind of have to remind them to round up. But yeah, Fort Collins in Denver. Yeah, girl.
Good times, buddy.
What are you doing this week?
Nothing this week. Working? Coming up in November. Won't give you specifics, but Morgantown, West Virginia, doing Cleveland, doing Buffalo.
Are these where they offer prostitutes?
Doing Pittsburgh. No, none of those clubs. So, yeah, Pittsburgh, okay. Buffalo, Cleveland, Morgantown, West Virginia. And then, of course, November 10th, live Boogie Monster at the Bell House, part of the New York Comedy Festival. Get those tickets before they sell out, man. I think those are going to sell out, so that'll be fun. And we can go ahead and announce a couple of guests. Andy Sanford's going to be one of our guests.
Hell yeah.
And Shalewa Sharp going to be another guest. And I'm working on another one that I'll confirm hopefully tonight. So
that's going to be a fun, silly time. New York City, baby.
It's going to be good time. So, yeah. Boogie Monster, we're on, you know where we're at. Twitter, Instagram. Just holler at your boys. We'll be here for you.
Holler at your goddamn boys.
Mm-hmm.
The Boogie Monster.